Blog Talk Radio.
We're now listening to Wealthy Sisters
Radio Show.
We're now listening to Wealthy Sisters
Radio Show.
We're now listening to Wealthy Sisters
Radio Show.
We're now listening to Wealthy Sisters.
Deborah Hornet.
We're now listening to Wealthy Sisters. We're now listening to Wealthy Sisters. We're now listening to Wealthy Sisters. We're now listening to Wealthy Sisters.
Deborah
Hornet. Well, hello and a welcome to Wealthy Sisters Radio, sponsored by Wealthy Sisters Media Group, where we proudly promote positive people. You can visit us for all of your branding and publishing needs at WealthySistersMedia.com. That's S-I-S-T-A-S Media.com. Wealthy Sister Radio, connecting business people, stories, and music, and our purpose is twofold. First, we love to provide you, that dynamic listener, with inspiration and encouragement and that practical knowledge that you can apply to your business and your life right now for that positive impact. And second, you know, we must edify, provide a platform to promote, acknowledge, and say thank you to the sisters for doing big things. I'm Deborah Hornet, your host, broadcasting live on the Worldwide Blog Talk Network, and today is another awesome Tuesday. Can you believe it? It's June already. Yes, June 10th. It is June 10th, 2014, and there is so much exciting. I mean, just a great time to be alive. You know, we're excited about celebrating our anniversary next month. This is Black Music Month. I mean, what can we say? It's just a great time to be here on Wealthy Sisters Radio. And, you know, we are here every week at the same time. That's Tuesdays at 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. So thank you so much for spreading the word as well. And, you know, when you listen to this show right now with us live, you can go back and catch it downloadable. That's right, at Wealthy Sisters Radio, WealthySistersRadio.com. You can catch all of our shows, the library of, did I just say 5 years? That's right, next month, 5 years of great, rich content just for you. Also, when we talk about that, you know, we are available on WealthySistersRadio.com, but we're also free on iTunes. So, you know, you can download us there on your smart devices, right there on iTunes. You can listen to us. When you subscribe to us, you'll get the show every week right there, and that way you can stay on top of everything that's happening here at Wealthy Sisters Radio. Now, you know, we've got that special promotion going with the free commercials, and next week we are going to announce the winners for this month, for the two winners for the free commercial. So if you haven't already, you know all you have to do is do three simple things. Just follow us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, all under Wealthy Sisters. That's right. Just follow us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter under Wealthy Sisters, and go to WealthySistersRadio.com and join our mailing list. Three simple things. And guess what? We have some exciting news next week for those who have won the free commercial. Also, you know, we've got that business question of the week. And that business question of the week, I tell you, it is so much information there. Since we started this a couple of months ago, I'm telling you, you guys have been just great sharing your information and asking the questions. So if you have a question, any topic you want to cover, you know, myself, I've been a business owner for over 25 years, but if I don't have the information, you know what I'm going to do. Just like we do every week, we make sure we provide you with experts. We will make sure we get that information and get it to you. So if you've got a question that you want to ask, here's your opportunity. All you've got to do is send us a simple email to family@wealthysistersradio.com. That's family@wealthysistas, S-I-S-T-A-S, radio.com. Or you can call our hotline at 800-917-9435, extension 808, 800-917-9435. 35 extension 808 and give us a shout out on that hotline. Let us know where you are, what you're thinking about, and what that question is. And our question of the week this week comes from Alex. That's right. Alex, all the way down in Tampa, Florida. Alex, thank you so much for tuning in to us. Alex says that they have been in business now for about 3 years, he is, I guess he said he could be a she, we're not sure, but more of a person that is direct and to the point and wants to know our feedback on networking, the importance of networking, and just some ideas around what we might do as far as networking is concerned. Well, definitely, you know, if you've tuned into our show, we talk about networking often here on Wealthy Sisters Radio and the importance of it. But this is the thing with Wealthy Sisters Radio that we share every week. We talk about relationships and business, and networking is all about building relationships. A lot of times when people go to an event, you might hear them complaining, oh, I got these business cards, I met people, but nobody bought anything. Even if you're getting a booth at a conference or what have you, it does take time. It's about, I like to say, building that pipeline. And people definitely will buy from people that they know and people that they love. So understand this whole concept of networking is not just about passing out cards and automatically things are going to happen right at that moment. I wish that it was that easy. Trust me, I do, but it is not. It's a process. You've got to learn each other. You've got to see what works and what those needs are. And I always go to an event looking on who I could help and who I could serve. That's one of the things. So I look for events that will be specific to my industry or as far as, you know, perhaps how our industry can help someone else's. And then the other thing is when you're networking, you know, don't always just think about, well, this person or that person may not be in your direct circle, but they may know someone that you can help, so never discount that. The other thing is I would like to share about networking. It's important to make sure that, like I said, trade-specific organizations, you know, make sure that you become a part of those organizations that have some of the same concerns or have some of the same ideas or general interests that you have as well, and that is really important. But my main takeaway for you today, Alice, is to know that networking is important, but it's all about building relationships. And so definitely you want to do that. Be very specific when you go to an event. You don't have to meet every person there. You know, you pick out, if you've seen if there are exhibitors there, what have you, you pick out those select exhibitors that have a direct correlation to what you're wanting to do or what, you know, you can help them with as well. So that is our answer today on Wealthy Sisters Radio Business Question of the Week. Thank you so much, Alex, for your question. We appreciate you for sending us that email. And if you have a question that you'd like to ask us here at Wealthy Sisters Radio for the Business Question of the Week, all you need to do is send it to family@wealthysistersradio.com or give us a shout-out on our hotline at 800-917-9435, extension 808. Wow, well, you know we are excited about today's show as we talk about business here, you know, and a lot of times we often talk about the success. Yes, we always talk about that, but what are the ingredients? If you've listened to our shows, oftentimes I would ask, what are those ingredients that went into the recipe that we see today? And so our story today that our author is going to share today is just an incredible journey of friendship, and is going to be able to share his friend's life before his success, and that is none other than Mr. Lynn Hart, who is the author of Richard F. Lewis Before TLC Beatrice. And we know Reginald Lewis was one of the first African-Americans to build a billion-dollar company back in the 90s. I mean, this was incredible. And just everything that he was able to accomplish in the 80s and the 90s and what have you. But what were those ingredients? What was it that fueled him to be the success that he was and that we all know today. So our very special guest, like I said, is Mr. Lynn Hart, who is the author of this incredible book. And we're going to take a short break, and when we come back, we will bring on our very special guest today. So thank you so much for tuning in to Wealthy Sisters Radio.
Business leaders, are you ready to soar? Success is not defined by your wings, but by your courage to leap from the cliff's edge and fly. With Fortune 500 expertise, the Beatty Group partners with creative and motivated leaders, weaving structure and innovation for maximum business success. Visit us at thebeattygroup.com. That's T-H-E-B-A-T-I-E group.com. Or call the Beatty Group at 877-264-7699.
Three women are murdered every day. Around the world, at least one in three women has been or will be abused in her lifetime. It's time to change these statistics. Join Saving Promise, a national grassroots movement that's bringing about real change. Visit www.savingpromise.org to join our One Voice campaign and follow us on Facebook and Twitter. Text My Promise to 20222 to make a $5 donation. We need your voice. Together we can live, thrive, and be free of domestic violence.
Queen Anita Empire Online features luxurious African handmade healthy skin and body care products. From enhancing all-natural soaps, hair growth stimulating shampoos, to delicious healthy drinks, great for arthritis, we have an extensive inventory of more than 450 items to begin your natural journey to wellness. Visit QueenAnitaEmpireInc.com. That's QueenAnitaEmpireInc.com. Remember, QueenAnitaEmpireInc.com.
We are live here on Wealthy Sisters Radio. Thank you so much for joining us today with our very special guest, Mr. Lynn Hart, who is the author of Reginald F. Lewis Before, TLC Beatrice. We're so excited to have him on as our very special guest today. I want to make sure you've got all your pens and papers and notepads ready. Hello, Mr. Lynn. Welcome to Wealthy Sisters Radio.
Thank you, Deborah. It's a pleasure to be here. And again, thanks for having me on your show.
Yes, yes. Well, like I said, we're excited to have this conversation today. I know when we spoke briefly on yesterday, we had an opportunity to kind of talk about some of the things that you will be sharing with our audience today. And I know one of the questions was, you know, you were going to share, you know, the real information as to what fueled and that inspiration as to what fueled your friend, Mr. Reginald Lewis. But before we get into that, we must, as we say here at Wealthy Sisters Radio, we're a little nosy. We always like to get the background of our very special guest and where you grew up and what led you on the path to become an author and write this great book that you've written.
Well, Deborah, I have been fortunate enough to have an opportunity to do a number of things over the course of my life, and having worked in the corporate side with AT&T for well over 30 years, and I retired as the director of their International Engineering Services Group, which gave me an opportunity to travel around the world and see a whole host of things, and after that I began speaking. Traveling across the country, speaking operations and sharing what I knew with audiences. And then I was asked by a number of companies to take on the task of being a mentor for a number of their young developing corporate executives. And that was a wonderful opportunity for me to share my ideas and views with developing leaders. And I always like to mention the one that stands out most in my mind is James White, who's the CEO of Jamba Juice. A company that's making some noise on the scene for healthy foods. And but again, I came about this writing this book as the current stage. I won't say it's the last stage because there's probably other things for me to do. But yeah, I've had a nice run. I felt really, really good about taking on the task of writing this book about my good friend Reginald Lewis.
And you know, we know if we know anything about history, we know anything about business, we celebrate Reginald Lewis for what he was able to accomplish. But, you know, it's nothing like having a bird's eye view of a friend who was right there. You understand you all grew up in the same neighborhood, You know, can you share a little bit about that?
Yes, I did, and that's one of the things I always point out with regards to my book and the story I tell. Everything in the book is firsthand. I'm going from personal observations because most people who know about Reginald Lewis know that he was a very private individual and kept most of his personal life pretty much under the radar. And I had a chance to witness a good deal of his early years and at the behest or request of a number of his family members and also friends, I decided to write this book. But we were both young men coming out of Baltimore City, and I always make sure that I say that Reginald Lewis's original roots were in East Baltimore, because that's really his pride and joy. Even yes, it was important.
Not the
to
West,
him.
But the East. I've been in this area to know that you've got to clarify that.
That's right. Yeah. And when he was a teenager, his family moved into West Baltimore, and I'm thinking around 13, 14 years old, and that's where my family was at the time. So that's where we first met.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
his story is an extraordinary story. Here's a guy that is a product of Baltimore City Public Schools, and he went to Dunbar High School in Baltimore and graduated in 1961, and we were both athletes, and we had even competed against each other. I went to a school in West Baltimore, Edmondson High School. So even though we lived in the same neighborhood, we were friends and had an opportunity to bump into each other on the competitive field and built a kind of a casual, cordial relationship. And lo and behold, when we graduated from high school, we both ended up going to Virginia State University on football scholarships. And Reginald went from high school to Virginia State, and as a student, he worked harder than anybody that I know of. He was a modest student, which is contradictory to his life when you think about his achievements. You know, his brilliance was in his ability to work and to figure things out. And from there, graduating from Virginia State, he went on to Harvard in 1965 and began quietly building a reputation. He had his own law firm actually graduated from Virginia State in 65 and Harvard in 68, but started his law firm in 1970, and at that point, became one of the first African Americans that anyone knew of, and may have been the first to have his own Wall Street address for his firm, and later on left there and got into deal making and decided that he wanted to become a person who purchased and bought businesses through a number of methodologies. The one that he chose was a leveraged buyout, which led him to buy two companies. One was McCall Patterns, which he purchased first, and then later sold McCall Patterns for close to $23 million. And that was a big thing in 1983. But this wasn't the end of it, because the big deal, which was the one that put him on the cover of the Wall Street Journal and in the Wall Street scene, was in 1987. Well, actually, he sold McCall Patterns in 87, I believe, and then went on to buy Beatrice, the international assets of Beatrice Foods, which was a global company. And in 1987, he purchased that company. And this was an extraordinary thing for anybody, let alone an African-American. Here's a company that was primarily involved in food distributions, and he bought the international assets of that company. And it was a company doing close to $2 billion of business a year with 64 companies in 31 countries. Now, that's a huge footprint for anybody. And he burst onto the scene, and a lot of people didn't know who he was. But that was Lewis's operating style, under the radar, and all of a sudden there he was. But it was an extraordinary event, and it was covered by all the major newspapers. And he was in the process of becoming our nation's first African-American billionaire. He was among the wealthiest people on the planet, as I like to say. And he unfortunately passed away in 1983 of a brain tumor. But an extraordinary guy with an extraordinary story. And that's sort of the backdrop of who he is and how we came to be friends.
Mm-hmm. Now, when you think about your friendship, even if I'm sure you remember the first day you all met and can go back there, did you think or would you have ever imagined or could you go back and say, I saw some of those qualities in him as a friend, as a young man growing up as to what you would see him building his corporation that you saw?
Well, the answer to that question is yes, but there's a caveat I would add to it. One is that I knew he was going to be successful, but I had no idea that he was going to be as successful as he was. I mean, this guy was playing in the clouds, in the stratosphere, with the major business types and his accomplishments for global accomplishments. But, yeah, you always knew. I always knew. Reginald Lewis was a guy who was not bashful about telling you that he was going to be a success. It wasn't something that he said to everybody, but if you mattered to him,
right.
if you were a friend or someone he knew, he was pretty straightforward about that. I think the way I would say it is this. As I've examined his life over the years, I believe Reginald would subscribe, even though he didn't put it this way, but I think he would have subscribed to something I call the three W's of a successful life, and that is simply this. When you start out in life, everybody, even as a child, we have wishes. We wish for things, and we sort of go way out on the perimeter wishing things, and some of them are unrealistic. But we kind of know what we'd like to be. And at some point in life, we realize that it may be within reach, and we start wanting it. You know, we wanted it, and we realize that it's within reach. But what we sometimes forget, and this is the third W, and Reginald understood this and better than anybody I've ever known, that those three W's, that wishing, that wanting, none of that matters without work, without hard work.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
And that's the kind of roadmap I see in his life as I look back over it. He understood that, and he said this to me, and, you know, sometimes you look back over your life and you say, I knew this person, but how did they affect me? What was their impact on me? Because we all affect people around us. And when I got married, I remember telling my wife that I'm not going to work my entire life for somebody else. One day I'm going to leave and have my own company. Now, I posted on Facebook, and if those who are interested on Facebook, look me on Facebook. I have a Reginald F. Lewis before TLCB interest page, and on it I posted this quote, and it was a quote by a fellow whose name, if you tried to pronounce it, you'd probably miss it, but I'm going to try it, Dorabe Abani. And the quote was,
"Okay,
if you don't take risk, you will always work for someone who does." Now, Reginald understood that even as a young man, and I was trying to explain to my wife why I was so excited by that quote and why, in effect, I did leave a major opportunity with a major corporation at some point in my life to start my own company, and I couldn't figure out where that came from. But if I analyze it, it came from some of those early encounters with Reginald Lewis when he would talk about, Len, you know you can never get rich working for somebody else. And he believed that. And that was one of the things that guided him in his quest for success. And so people do affect people. We affect each other. And even in a self-analysis that goes back well over 40, 50 years, I can recall when we had those discussions and how that thought was embedded in me. Doesn't mean you can't be successful. But Reginald Lewis wanted to succeed in a grand way, and that meant being wealthy and rich, and that's what he wanted to do as well as achieve something. And so that's kind of the roadmap for him and a personality profile on very quickly on who this man was.
You know, and when you talked about that, I definitely want to get into some of those other qualities, the special qualities, and I love that, the three W's of it, you know, that you've got, we start out as children, we have that wish, and then we realize after analyzing that what's in reach, we start wanting that, and then we know that that third W is work. I love that. And you saw that in your friend Reginald Lewis. What were some of the other qualities that you saw, you know, him have that would help him become such a great success that he was?
Well, I think there were a number of them, but the ones that stand out to me is that Reginald was a guy who had an extraordinary self-belief in what I call a sustain. You know, people talk about I believe in my success, but sometimes when you get down the road and you start running into impasses, that belief sort of fades, and all of a sudden you settle for something less.
It can fade easily. You can be derailed so, easily.
That's right. That's right. But his unusual quality, one that's, that stands out in my memory, is that he had what I call a sustainable belief in the eventuality of a success. And what I mean by that, it was like dogged. Mm. It was like it's like it was preordained, and that the notion of becoming successful was there for him, and he just had to go for it. I saw
a video. Give me an example of that. I'm sorry to interrupt you, but can you give us mm-hmm. a situation or a scenario, something you remember him to just, you know, have that dogged where he exercised that belief? Does anything come to mind?
Okay, yeah, I can. There's a story that I tell this. If anyone's ever heard me talk, they would have heard this story, so I apologize. But it is powerful, and I do want to share it with your audience. When we were in school, this was at a difficult time for African Americans in this country. It was in the 60s, in the middle of the Civil Rights Movement. It's a lot of difficult times for people. And we went to school. We went to college in a small town in Petersburg. We went to Virginia State University, and it was a southern town. And in that town, there weren't many opportunities for students to work off campus, but there were a few. And a new bowling alley opened up our freshman year. And Reginald and I both saw this as an opportunity to maybe find some additional work, to make a few extra bucks. And so we went over to this bowling alley, and it was clearly from the time we walked in, you could see it was a predominantly white establishment. There were a few blacks there, but basically it was a white bowling alley. And we were thinking about jobs that we could get, and my thought was kind of like whatever I got would be satisfactory. I mean, if it was picking up paper, it was working the counter,
right.
It was, you know, cleaning up the lanes, whatever it was, it would be suitable. But Reginald, the supreme confidence that this guy had, and again, you have to remember, this is 1961 in a southern town, he turns to me and says, Lynn, I don't want to do any of that, and I'll say expletive deleted because I don't want to mess up your show here, but he said, I don't want to do any of that blank. So I said, this guy is so much a piece of work. He can never be satisfied with what anybody else wants. He's got to top everybody. So
he got to have something
But he made it clear, yes, he made it clear that that wasn't anything he wanted to be a part of. And so we left, and we didn't really get employment, but we talked to some people, and we left. And so a few weeks later, I noticed he's coming back to campus a little late each evening, and I said, hey, what's going on, Lewis? You got a girlfriend across town, or what's keeping you out so late? And he told me, he said, Lynn, you remember that bowling alley where we visited over there? Oh, by the way, he declared that he could run the place. What he said was, I believe I can run this place. And that's what topped me off. I said, there you go again. But 2 weeks later, he's coming back late, and I said, you know, what's the story? He said, well, you remember that bowling alley that we went to? I said, yeah. He said, well, I'm working over there now. And I said, what are you doing? He said, I'm the manager.
Wow.
And I said, you can't be the manager. You can't possibly be the manager. Well, here's the story. He was the manager. He had been hired as the night manager of that bowling alley. How he did I have no idea.
In
1961, in that town, in Petersburg, Virginia. And he was the night manager of that bowling alley. And I went over there several times, and he was running it. My point is this. This was not your usual guy. And in many ways, he was ordinary. But in terms of this sustainable belief and the eventuality of success, it was a confidence factor there. It was that if I want it bad enough, you know, I'll be able to get it. The other thing I'll just add very quickly is that Reginald Lewis was a guy who understood success, or at least the pursuit of success, in a grand way. He was not someone who talked about having a small success, even though that's acceptable for people. We all are different, but he was unusual in that he had a larger vision for everything, and I think that in itself is a quality, the ability to see a bigger possibility. I mean, he didn't see things as being, you know, one step, but he thought two and three steps ahead. And as a modest student, and this is important, as a modest student, his grades were never extraordinary. That required that he put the pedal to the metal in the work area. And he worked harder than most guys I know just to get average grades. But his achievements were extraordinary when you take into consideration the entire profile of the individual.
Wow, that's incredible. If you just joined us, you are listening to Wealthy Sisters Radio with our special guest, Lynn Hart, who is discussing his book, and his friend Reginald Lewis, and he has written his great book, which is Reginald F. Lewis Before TLC Beatrice, and we're just great to have him on our show today. We will take a short break, and when we come back, Lynn, I'd love for you to tell us a little bit about that inspiration. I know we mentioned yesterday that this is Wealthy Sisters Radio, and we do mostly interview women, and we mostly talk about successful women, but we do talk about men and interview men on the show, which is why we could not take this opportunity to have you on the show to talk about your book. But there is a special inspiration that fueled Mr. Lewis, and I can't wait for our guests to hear about that. So we'll take our break and come back. Would you mind sharing that with us today, Lynn?
We'll do that.
All right, fantastic. Stay tuned. You are listening to Wealthy Sisters Radio, and thank you so much for tuning in.
We're now listening to Wealthy Sisters
Radio Show.
We're now listening to Wealthy Sisters
Radio Show.
We're now listening to Wealthy Sisters
Radio Show.
We're now listening to Wealthy Sisters. We're now listening to Wealthy Sisters
Radio Show.
We're now listening to Wealthy Sisters
Radio Show.
We're now listening to Wealthy Sisters
Radio Show.
We're now listening to Wealthy Sisters.
Ladies, are you tired of searching for Mr. Right and need help cracking the man code? Do you really want to know what he thinks about dating, love, and romance? Are you wondering if the one you are with will ever fall in love with you? Then you need the Code Cracker, Jay Neville, relationship expert and life coach. Visit jneville.com. That's J-N-E-V-E-L-S.com. jneville.com. Does your home or office decor need a resurrection? Is there a special room of yours that says blah, blah, blah and is lacking inspiration? Then you need creative ways and solutions. We help you create feel-good spaces that are functional and beautiful at the same time. We are here to cater to you with an environmental and spiritually conscious flair. Both in-person and virtual interior design services are available. Visit us online at creativeways.com, spelled with a K, or call 888-280-8318. For a complimentary consultation. We create spaces that inspire you.
Well, we're live here on Wealthy Sisters Radio. Thank you so much for joining us today. We've got a lot of exciting things that are taking place with our special guest, Lynn Hart, who is the author of Reginald Lewis, the whole title. Reginald F. Lewis, Before TLC Beatrice, The Young Man Before the Billion-Dollar Empire. We've talked about some great things about Reginald Lewis, his dear friend, but I just do want to remind everybody, you know, we are celebrating our fifth anniversary next month. Yes, yes, we're so excited and so grateful to all of you all. We know we would not be here without you, the dynamic listener. We appreciate you so much. I am just humbled every week by all of the response that we get from our show. And I mean, you just never know, as Lynn has shared earlier in our show today, the impact that you make on people's lives. So I definitely am so appreciative. And, you know, we just want to remind you, hey, we're here celebrating, and what a great way to celebrate than with the WSMG Business Directory. That Business Directory is promoting you, and we are still in our introductory phases here. Next month we will go full launch, but it has launched and it's live on the site. So you can go to WSMG, that's the Wealthy Sisters Media Group, so WSMGBusinessDirectory.com, and list your business now. Lifetime multiple listings there, category listings for your business. So back to our very special guest, Lynn Hart. We want to talk about, you know, what was it, that inspiration? Who was that person? I'm sure it was so many people in Reginald Lewis's life, but what was the real fuel that you witnessed to help create what we see in his legacy today?
Well, Deborah, I think you're correct to say that there were a number of people in Reggie's life that had a hand in his success, and that can go all the way back to his grandfather, his stepfather, his wife, Loida, a number of people. But I always felt that his mother was the one that gave him the biggest lift and the biggest platform upon which to launch himself. And she did it in a number of ways. But I think what I would say is that she understood that there was not going to be an easy road for her son. And I've known the family for many, many years, and I've seen her demonstrate this skill, but her ability to build the fire under the people that come in contact with her, and a very inspirational person, and she was able to provide that kind of support for her son. But a lot of teaching that went on, too. She was a strong woman, and there's a story that she loves to tell, and I want to share it with your audience here quickly, but she always was about making sure her son understood that in order to succeed in the world, you had to be willing to work. That's that point I talked about earlier under the three W's. That's where that came from. She tells a story about when Reginald was a youngster, and he had a local newspaper route, and I'm going to guess he was about 12, 13, 14 years old, but he had an Afro route, a paper route, the Afro-American in Baltimore. And in the summer, he went on to a summer camp, but he held on to his paper route, and he asked his mom if she would deliver the papers for him while he was gone. And so she did that every day, delivered his papers. Uh-huh. And then when he came back, he said to her, he approached her and says, you can now give me my money. And she looked at him and said, what money? He said, well, the money that my paper route generated while I was away. She said, well, as far as I know, you didn't do any work. I did the work, so I get the money. And they had a long, drawn-out discussion about that, and she uses that to make the point that she said to him, if you're going to contract with somebody to do something, if you're going to do a deal with somebody, you need to get that understanding up front and not at the back end. So you didn't do the work, you didn't have a contract, so I get the money. Now, that story is reflective of two things, reflective of the kind of discipline that his mom had and her devotion to work and her her desire to teach her son how to survive in a world where work is compensated for, but only if you have an understanding what that compensation is. She also was someone who was constantly there when he needed her. One of the things that stands out in Reginald Lewis's story is that he, and I said earlier that he was a modest student, but he didn't come from wealth. He didn't come from a lot of money, and he lost his football scholarship the first year at Virginia State. What that meant was he lost his financial footing and all the support that came with that scholarship. And I remember when that happened, he was a guy who was sort of scrambling around trying to figure out how to do things, but coming from a strong family as he did, there was support for him and helped him get through this very, very difficult period. But again, work came in. He worked a number of jobs to try to make money to make up the difference. And he got through this period with the help of his family and the support of his mom. So an extraordinary woman who I've come to appreciate and consider to have been a privilege to know her. But in the book, I write about that relationship. And some of these stories I'm talking about, some of those are in the book as well.
Yes, as well. And, you know, you mentioned as well that it's proof that she obviously was a force and, you know, in his life and just a powerhouse in raising sons. Not only did she raise Reginald Lewis, but his brother as well, you know, went on, you mentioned, to become very successful as well. Is that correct?
Yeah. That is correct, and a lot of people in the Maryland, Washington, Virginia area, Washington, D.C. area, may have heard of him. He was a young man who, Reginald's younger brother, his name is Gene Fugit. It was his half-brother, Gene Fugit, and Gene established himself in Baltimore as an outstanding high school athlete and a tremendous student, and went on to Amherst on a scholarship and ended up being one of those outstanding football players that got signed by the Dallas Cowboys back in the early days, and he has distinguished himself there and later came on to be a star with the Washington Redskins back in the 70s. And I always like to point out that as good of an athlete as Gene was, he was also an outstanding student. And Gene is a lawyer, accomplished businessman, and still in the Baltimore, Washington area. But that's the that's the lineage of these kids. And again, you know, I was privileged enough to be able to watch them and participate. And quite honestly, as I said earlier, some of it rubbed off on me. I really believe that it was to my benefit to mm-hmm. have been a roommate, teammate, friends, lifelong friends with Reginald Lewis. And, you know, I just think there was something in that. And so being associated with people who have a desire to achieve can also affect us. And, again, I say for the benefit of your audience, because I believe it to be true, every one of us, we have an effect on those around us. Hopefully it's a positive impact. But young people, and again, this book was written with young people in mind. I mean, adults can enjoy it as well. But I did think this part of his story had not been dealt with, which I guess opens another opportunity for me to say this. People sometimes ask me, why did I write this book? Well,
right.
I wrote this book because initially I just felt it was a story that had not been told, because there's Reginald's autobiography is out there and a number of other books, but they talk about his success. While his autobiography covers his early years, I think the real hook in that book is how he managed to become successful in the financial arena. But the years that I'm talking about, his years when he went to an HBCU, when he went to a public school, when he struggled with his grades and when he had to get through the loss of the scholarship, his developmental years, those years I never felt were dealt with. And so I decided to write this book. And now that the book is out, I've taken on another mission along with it. I want people to know who he was, and that's maybe a selfish thing on my part, but I just feel like I need to do that. I had an occasion to meet. This is right after the book was published. I was on Virginia State's campus, and I was standing under a banner. It was homecoming. I was standing under a banner that had a picture of Reginald Lewis hanging from the post, like a lamppost. And I saw a bunch of kids on campus, and I summoned them over. I said, come over here. Let me talk with you. And I said, how many of you know, I'm going to give you a name. Let me know if it registers with you at all. And so I said, tell me what you know about Reginald F. Lewis. And there were puzzle faces all around. And this is on Virginia State's campus. And I said, do you know who he was? And they said, I think he was, I'm not sure. So I said, look above my head. I said, you see a banner up there? And they said, yes. I said, who is that? Now, Reginald Lewis had a mustache, which he wore most of his life, and I now have a mustache. So one of the kids said, that's you. I said, that's not me. I said, that's Reginald F. Lewis. So I took some time to explain to them who he was. And on the campus, there is a Reginald F. Lewis School College of Business, but it wasn't well distinguished. The name wasn't well displayed in those days. So I decided that I would take on another mission here, and that was to do everything I could to get as many people as I knew, in my small way, to know who he was, to introduce him to those people. So I have social media stuff going. I have the book. I do the book signings, and I do the you know, the radio shows like this one here. But my mission really is, yes, I'd like the book to move, but I think today, more importantly, I want people to know who this guy was, because he was an extraordinary guy. And people have different opinions about him in terms of his toughness as a businessman and what that was like.
Right.
But he was a guy that accomplished extraordinary things, and I wanted that story to be told.
Well, you know, it's important that you tell this story. In like we, you know, we discussed already, the developmental years are often what we don't hear about and what we don't see. We see a person when they hit the mark, when they become successful, and a lot of times when people are on that path in their journey, all they see is those individuals who have reached those goals that they want and can't always feel, you know, you feel alone. We always say as an entrepreneur, it can be an extremely lonely journey, and it's very challenging. As we say, it's not for the faint at heart. But when you hear stories and you learn, okay, this is what this person went through, they're going through and experiencing the same part of life, but what did they do to overcome those obstacles, or how did they weave their way through this challenge? It's very important for you to share that story, and absolutely to share who Reginald F. Lewis was. You know, I would say I was not privy to him in the way that I am now until I moved to this area, you know, and really it is important that, we know, and I'm from Atlanta, You know, he's a young man in comparison to, you know, our typical Black History Month pictures that we used to see, you know, the Harriet Tubmans, of course, Dr. King.
Yes.
But those, all of those need to be updated, you know, with people like Reginald Lewis who are continually making strides and have made strides and accomplishments that our children need to see to be a model for them so that they can it's not just an athletic path that you have to go or a rapper. There are so many ways, and business is one that you can
Yes, it is. Mm-hmm. I would just add to that, Reginald, there's other books out about Reginald, and people should consider those too. One is his autobiography,
right.
Why should White Guys Have All the Fun, which is his autobiography,
uh-huh.
which includes a good deal about his financial success. And as I said, my book focuses more on those developmental years. There's also, and I would encourage people to look up these places and attend these places, but there's the Reginald F. Lewis Maryland Museum of African American Culture and Art. There's a Reginald F. Lewis Museum in Baltimore. And if
in
you
Baltimore.
Ever visit the Inner Harbor section downtown, right, I think people, it would be worth your while to visit that museum. There's the Reginald F. Lewis Law Center on Harvard's campus. It's the only campus, only building on that campus named after an African American. And then there's the Reginald F. Lewis College of Business on Virginia State University's campus, which we dedicated last year, and I had the opportunity to speak at that event. But there's a number of places that mark his name as achievement, and I think they're well worth the time it would take to visit them.
Absolutely. And when you talk about his qualities and the success that he's had and he had an experience, and you also mentioned the fact that it was a privilege for you to grow up around him, his family, how some of those things rubbed off on you. I'd love for you to just take a few more moments and talk about that, because that's a point that we like to drive here at Wealthy Sisters on Wealthy Sisters Radio, that the company we keep, how important it is to be around people that stretch us. And if you want to know, you know, the old saying, if you want to know where you're going to be 5 years from now, take the sum total of the five closest people that you're around, and that's where you will be. So can you share a little bit here about the importance of the kinds of people that we surround ourselves with and how they can impact our lives, as Reginald Lewis and his family did for you?
Well, let me begin by saying this. If you read the book, you'll find out that when I started as a young person, and we started our journey through high school and college and so on, I wasn't a guy who had a lot of goals and objectives. I was basically a guy who made decent grades in school, but I was an athlete. And when I went to college, my sole purpose was to play 4 years of football, and that was going to be it. No member of my immediate family had graduated from college or even gone to college, and I decided that, okay, I'm here, I'll play football. Well, with Reginald Lewis as my roommate that first year, there were certain things that we talked about. And by the way, Reginald could be an explosive kind of guy. There were a number of things that we argued about in terms of views or different in opinions. And unfortunately for both of us, we both were highly opinionated, energetic guys who could love to debate. And so we did that, and much of what he said, I didn't always agree with. A lot of the stuff that I'm telling you now, I didn't always agree with it. The three W's, that was anything that was focusing on, that I focused on. But I watched him, and we had these debates. And at some point, when I got ready to graduate, I found myself kind of competing a little bit, because he was going to go to Harvard, and I had been drafted by the Buffalo Bills, a professional football team. And so I saw him as, you know, we were going to both compete now. And so that competitive thing of – and a healthy competition, by the way, because by that time, I had developed – that's friendly. I had developed aspirations of my own, but driven mainly because I had spent time with this guy as a roommate, friend, and fraternity brothers. By the way, we're Kappas. I got to get that out there. Shout out to my brother.
You got to get that out there.
But
that's right.
Got to get that out there. Shout out to the new –
If you don't say anything, you'd be in trouble.
Oh, yeah, they'll let me know. But we had gone through all this stuff together, and it really had shaped some of my values. And over the years, I began to understand that Reginald Lewis, and I've said this before, was a rocket. And after we were young men, we'd been out working. I was working for AT&T, and he had his law firm, and he was doing his thing. And we stayed in touch mostly by phone, but occasionally we would visit. But I realized that he was going way, way, way beyond anything I had ever dreamed. And I think most folks who knew him would say that. But because I had locked in early on, I'd actually changed my major my freshman year from having had discussions with this guy. I changed my major to business administration because of a conversation that we had, which is in the book. I won't go into all that. But being able to rub shoulders with somebody who has those kind of aspirations, that kind of work ethic, and just that kind of determination and the level of self-confidence, it did affect me. And I think even to this day, as I mentioned, I left AT&T at a point in my career when most people didn't understand why. And I didn't know where the thought came from that I would work for myself one day. But in the analysis and in retrospect, that was put there in early discussions by Reg when he said, you know what, I don't think I'll ever work for anybody because I want to be wealthy, I want to be rich, I want to accomplish something, I want to be somebody who people will remember, and I can't mm-hmm. do that work for somebody else. And so, mm-hmm. and by the way, I want to be clear on this, there are lots of wonderful lives and careers to be had working for someone else. That was just
Absolutely.
His value, and
Absolutely.
It stuck with me in a way that by the time I was in my late 40s, I had just up and left AT&T to start my own company. So that's the effect on me.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. That's beautiful. Well, I tell you, this time has gone by so fast, and it's just been a pleasure having you, Lynn Hart, on our show today here on Wealthy Sisters Radio, discussing your friend, the life of Reginald Lewis before TLC Beatrice. You know, in closing, if you could take about 90 seconds, we definitely want to let everybody know that we want them to go to WealthySistersRadio.com to our featured guest. Go to WealthySistersRadio.com right now to our featured guest. We have information on your Facebook page there as well, and you can read more about Lynn Hart and his story. And definitely, the book is available on Amazon, iTunes, and Barnes & Noble as well. And are there other places that they can purchase the book?
Yeah, actually, you can get the book on Google Books as well. If you use
okay.
Google Play, you can go to Google Books and they download digital copies. I think the book is available. It's a 254-page book, and the price range is around $10 to $12. But you can get the best deal on Amazon.com. I'll just let you go there, and there's an author's page which you can learn more about me. And please check me out on Facebook. And when you get there, like my page, but there's a whole lot of photographs and information that will give you more information on Reginald F. Lewis.
Awesome. Well, if you could take about, let's say, 60 seconds now, and just what would you like to leave our audience with today as you think about your friend Reginald Lewis in his earlier years?
Well, I would say this, that for the young people and young adults and those who are pursuing their career, just getting started, understand that I believe this is true. Success is within the reach of all of us. But along the way, we have to focus on producing something of value, something that will help mm-hmm. someone else in their quest for success. And I don't know whether that's as a writer, as a singer, as a rap star, as a businesswoman, but focus on the fact that success can only be success if you can say, I brought a lot of other people with me. And I think that's an important thought I'd like to leave your audience with.
Oh, that's powerful. Absolutely. You know, it's not just about us. It's about who we are impacting, and it's bigger than I. It's bigger than you. It's bigger than just three people, you know, and that's beautiful. Thank you so much, Lynn Hart, for being with us today and sharing the story of your dear friend, Reginald Lewis. I tell you, if you've missed the first half of this show, you definitely want to go to WealthySistersRadio.com, download this show, and all of our other great shows, you can check them out there in our library as well. Well, today, you know, this is second Tuesday of the month, so if we have our featured correspondent, we're on our health and wellness segment here, and our featured correspondent, Ms. Delana Keller Watkins, has some information for
Hello.
You.
This is Delana Keller Watkins with your Wealthy Sisters Radio health and wellness segment. It's a great day to be healthy, and I'm grateful to share steps for success in your healthy journey. topic is Mind Your Body and Your Business. As business owners, entrepreneurs, and leaders, the importance of health has a direct impact on your bottom line. So ask yourself this question: am I healthy enough to be in business, or would I hire me? I trust that you replied with a resounding yes. There are simple steps to keeping your health and business thriving. The first is to develop a wellness plan which supports physical wellness to ensure fiscal wealth. Now, this wellness plan needs to resemble the data and thought process of creating a business plan. The framework needs to consist of your vision, mission, plan, and goals. These need to be very specific and well thought out, taking into account what you're able to commit to on a daily basis so that you can fulfill the goals and get what needs to be done physically, mentally, and spiritually. Next, to ensure success, you need to identify accountability partners that you have vetted and trust, just like business partners. They must be supportive, reliable, and resourceful. You want those individuals that will help to push you through when things are really rough or when you're not able to get through a certain specific thing that you are working on. You also need to make sure that they're reliable and resourceful. Can you get in touch with your accountability partners, and are they able to give you information that may not be readily available to you? So reliable and resourceful are other credentials that your accountability partners must have. So take that into account when vetting your accountability partners. Last but not least, stress less for success. Stress is a regular occurrence in our everyday lives. However, it is the unmanaged stress which develops into distress that causes us problems. Now, we all need a certain level of stress in our lives. Stress is that energy that gets us through those deadlines, project launches, and closing those business deals. However, it is the unmanaged or unchecked stress that develops into distress that causes us those issues that negatively impact our health and performance. So mind your body and your business. You can do it with a wellness plan, accountability partners, and by practicing safe stress. Creating a healthy legacy starts with building a solid foundation of physical, mental, and spiritual wellness. It's your time to experience total wellness. This has been your health and wellness segment with Delana Keller Watkins on Wealthy Sisters Radio. For more information, visit my page at wealthysistersradio.com or send me an email with questions, comments, or segment suggestions to correspondence@wealthysistersradio.com.
All right. Thank you so much, Delana. That was powerful. Definitely want to encourage you to go to wealthysistersradio.com to our featured correspondence, and you can learn more information about Delana Keller Watkins there and all of our other great correspondents that we have on team. We are just truly blessed here at Wealthy Sisters Radio and committed to providing you with that rich content every week. Well, I tell you, this show has gone by so fast. Again, want to thank Lynn Hart for being a special guest today. I want to remind you, you know, to go and download that show. He shared a lot of information, and I know it'll be an inspiration to you as you're continually building your business today and give you some guidelines, give you some ideas, and give you hope on those dark days that we can sometimes face as entrepreneurs. But, you know, we've come to that time in the show where we have our power thought of the week. And, you know, everything is in divine order. I always believe that. And just from our conversation today with our guests, we want to talk about remember those words and the impact that you have on others. Don't take it lightly. You know, never discount your words that you share with people. Always do your best to absolutely encourage. I mean, even when there's correction needed, there's always ways that you can encourage and uplift someone, because you never know the impact that you will have. And particularly when we think about our children as well, those words. And a lot of us deal with a lot of negativity in our head that we have to reprogram ourselves, because perhaps you might have heard discouraging words growing up, or someone told you that something couldn't be done or this would never happen. I want to encourage you just to remember the words and be cognizant of those words that you share. And just note this, as Maya Angelou says, you know, people never really remember what you say, but they do remember how you made them feel. And that can come from action, and it can come from those words that you share as well. So thank you so much for tuning in to our show today. We look forward to seeing you next week. And as always, we wish you and yours the best of everything great.
We're now listening to Wealthy Sisters
Radio Show.
We're now listening to Wealthy Sisters
Radio Show.
We're now listening to Wealthy Sisters
Radio Show.
We're now listening to Wealthy Sisters.
Deborah Hartnett.
We're now listening to Wealthy Sisters
Radio Show.
We're now listening to Wealthy Sisters. We're now listening to Wealthy Sisters. We're now listening to Wealthy Sisters.